What's up, everybody? Welcome back to I'm Not Crazy, your favorite podcast for true crime, conspiracy, and all things unknown.
Whoa, what an intro.
Thank you. Cameron Jones here, along with my co-host.
Nicole.
It's a Nicole episode today.
Yeah.
So buckle in, everybody. Get ready for some murder and mayhem. More of your true crime style.
We love murder. So this case is called the Fritzl case. It's absolutely insane to me.
Okay.
I have done research on this so many times. It's just wild. So buckle in. You're in for a wild ride. This case inspired two films. They're not like these like crazy like theater type of films, but one of them is streaming on Hulu. It's called Girl in the Basement.
Okay.
The other one is called The Chalk Line, which is actually streaming on Netflix for any of my thriller and crime movie watchers. And I'm only throwing that in there because nothing pisses me off more than people saying that, like, oh, you should look up this movie, and they don't tell you where it's streaming on, and then I'm just going down this rabbit hole of trying to find it, and then I end up having to pay like X amount of dollars for it.
So if you like the story, you can check out more of it there.
Yeah. So anyways, back to the story. Joseph Fritzl was born on April 9th of 1935 in Atzmitten, Austria, to Joseph Fritzl Sr. and Maria Fritzl. He grew up as an only child raised primarily by his working mother.
Okay.
So Joseph Fritzl, like many people who fall down the dark path, had a very troubled and violent childhood.
Okay, that's typical.
He was in a constant severe state of anxiety, as his mother Maria did not love him. She actually beat him and frequently left him behind by himself. His father, unfortunately, was a severe alcoholic and had deserted his family when Fritzl was unfortunately 4 years old.
So that's pretty rough.
Joseph Fritzl, so the son, at age 21, married 17-year-old Rose Marie and instantly began controlling every aspect of her life.
Uh-oh.
They had three sons and four daughters, one including Elizabeth, who was born on April 6th of 1966. It was reported that they eventually stopped, like him and Rosemary, eventually stopped being intimate with each other. Anne stated that Joseph Fritzl began essaying Elizabeth in 1977 when she was about 10 or 11 years old.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a real dark episode.
Yeah.
Listener warning out there. This is going to be some dark subject matter here of sexual assault and child abuse.
Yep. According to an annual report for 1967 and a press release that same year, he was also named a suspect in a case of attempting to R, a 21-year-old woman who was known for also indecent exposure. Fritzl was arrested, serving 12 months of an 18-month prison sentence. In accordance to Austrian law, his criminal record was expunged after 15 years.
Huh. Yeah. Pretty lenient.
Mm-hmm.
Sentencing and, you know.
Yeah, it's this case is just insane. So Joseph completed his education at an HTL technical college with qualifications in an electrical engineering. Fritzl got a job in Voltsepine in Linz. And then from 1969 to 1971, he actually had a job at a construction material firm in Atzmitten. Later, he
Atzmitten? Let's stick with Atzmitten.
Amsenten. Later, he became a technical equipment salesman. He traveled throughout Austria.
We're talking door to door here, or like a more commercial?
It seems like it was more door to door.
That's not good.
He retired from active employment when he turned 60 in 1995, but continued.
That seems like a long time to be in active employment. Jeez.
But he continued some commercial activities. In addition to his apartment building in Amsetten.
Asmitten.
Sure. Fritzl rented out several properties, and in 1972, he purchased a guest house and an adjacent campsite at Lake Monsdy.
Asmitten.
No, Lake Monsdy. Him and his wife ran it together until 1996.
Okay.
After Fritzl completed his compulsory education, so it's going to be a lot of back and forth, so bear with me. After Elizabeth Fritzl, so now we're going to Elizabeth, his daughter,
okay,
completed her compulsory education, so
grade school stuff, just the, yeah,
basically
you have to.
The basics. At the age of 15, she started a course to become a waitress.
There's courses for this.
In January of
God, I could have used that. I wasn't a bad waiter,
but also it was like this is like in the 80s. So in January of 1983, she ran away from home and went to hiding in Vienna with a friend from work. It's said that throughout her teen years, she ran away multiple times, but she always was brought back home.
All right. Probably should have left her, just run.
Yeah.
Or put her somewhere
else.
So
this time around, when she was hiding with her friend, she was found by police within 3 weeks and then returned to her parents. I'm not going to say the place because I've been saying Assmitten, okay. And it's not in Amstetten, Austria.
Sure.
And then she rejoined back her waitress course, actually finished it in mid-1984, and then was offered a job in a nearby town called Linz.
Okay, so she's getting out of the house at least.
Basically. So on August 28th of 1984, after Elizabeth turned 18, Joseph Fritzl lured her to the basement of the family home, stating that he needed help carrying a door. When in reality, Joseph has been converting the basement into a prison chamber, and the door was the last thing needed to seal it.
Oh, it's Fritzl. I remember this. Okay.
So.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So after Elizabeth held the door in place, Joseph held an ether-soaked towel to her face until she was unconscious and then threw her into the chamber.
Hmm.
After Elizabeth's disappearance, Rosemary filed a missing persons report. And then almost a month later, Joseph Fritzl handed a letter to the police, the first of several that he actually forced Elizabeth to write while she was in captivity.
Yeah, I remember that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's going to be a lot of blame should have been placed on the mom here, if I recall.
I feel like there's a lot of blame that should have been placed on a lot of people.
Hmm.
So the letter was postmarked to Brennau. I might be, again, sorry for the mispronunciation.
Assmitten.
It stated that she was tired of living with her family and was staying with a friend. She warned her parents to not look for her or she would leave the country. Joseph Fritzl then told police that she had most likely joined a cult.
Sure.
It's a pretty big jump. So over the next 24 years, Joseph went to the hidden chamber almost every day, a minimum of 3 times a week, where he would frequently beat, psychologically torment, and force her to reenact scenes from violent pornographic films and repeatedly R her.
It's just so crazy to like be your own child.
I know. And then
like, no matter what, it's a monstrous act, but like,
it's just insane to like someone to literally plan this out for probably years.
Although I will say, not condoning anything, but cool to have a secret room. We should get a panic room.
You're just all about like the secret room.
We should have a safety room.
So in results of the SA mm-hmm. acts that were performed on her, she did become pregnant. When she was at the point of giving birth, it's said that he would only give her disinfectant, a pair of scissors, and then a 1960s book to assist her with her childbirth.
Oof.
She gave birth to 7 kids during her captivity.
It's amazing she didn't die from that.
Mm-hmm. Only one child died shortly after birth, and then 3 of the kids, named Lisa, Monica, and Alexander, were actually removed from the chamber as infants to live with Joseph and his wife Rosemary, who were also approved by the local social services and authorities to keep the kids as their foster parents.
Yeah, that was always the crazy part to me. If I recall, he just said something like, our daughter dropped these off on our doorstep kind of
thing.
Which
is what I'm going to touch base on too.
Yeah.
So officials also said that Joseph very plausibly explained how the 3 of his infant grandchildren had appeared on his doorstep. The family received regular visits from social workers who saw and heard nothing to cause any sort of suspicion.
See, our panic room doesn't need that great soundproofing. Like, we should probably be heard, like, if we construct it bad and people need to search for us. I would like them to hear me tapping.
So, following Elizabeth's 4th child's birth in 1994, Joseph allowed the enlargement of this chamber from 380 square feet to 590 square feet, putting Elizabeth and her children to work digging the soil with their bare hands for years.
Get them like at least like a garden trowel or hoe or something.
I know,
something.
But I'm assuming that he probably didn't give them anything because they could use it as a weapon.
Yeah, that would make sense, or some sort of escape route. How long do you think you would notice me disappearing every day for an hour before you're like,
I would notice it
immediately.
Yeah. I would be like, hey, where are you going?
The basement.
I'd be like, what you doing?
Fixing stuff.
And I'd be like, help me with you don't fix stuff on your own.
Help me with this door.
No.
Fine, I'm hanging out in my room.
So the captives, meaning Elizabeth and her children, they did have a television, a radio, and a video cassette player. Food could be stored in a refrigerator and cooked or heated on hot plates. Elizabeth had to teach the children how to read and write, and then at times Joseph would punish the family by shutting off their lights or refusing to deliver food to them for days at a time. Oof. Joseph also told Elizabeth and the three children who remained that were named Kirsten, Stefan, and Felix that they would have been gassed if they tried to escape.
I mean, I remember seeing pictures of this guy, and he was kind of big and lumbering, if I recall, but like, there'd be I think a month in, I'd have to try something.
Mm-hmm. Investigators also concluded that this was an empty threat to frighten the victims. He didn't have a gas supply in the basement, and he, meaning Joseph, mm-hmm. also told him that they would be electrocuted if they tried to meddle with the cellar door.
That's a little more plausible. I mean, that'd mm-hmm. be easy with like a car battery.
So this is kind of touching base as to what Joseph's schedule was like mm-hmm. while Elizabeth was in confinement. So according to Fritzl's sister-in-law, Christine, he went to the basement every morning at 9 a.m. to draw plans for machines, which he sold to manufacturing firms.
Okay, so first I need to have... So I'll first be like, hey, Nicole, I'm going to start writing in this room with the door shut and locked for 2 hours a day.
Why do you need it locked?
Concentration.
But you need your emotional support animals.
No.
You would literally have a cat meowing at your door.
I know, it'd be annoying.
Yeah. Or a dog like breathing at the bottom of underneath the door. Just
no secrets here.
So he would draw these machines, draw plans for machines, which he sold to manufacturing firms. He often stayed there for the night and did not allow his wife to even bring him coffee.
Okay, so be suspicious if you're not allowed. Always be suspicious if you're not allowed in any section of your house. I mean, that's like a common
it's
theme
just
with many
weird.
Yeah, serial killers.
Yeah.
You're allowed everywhere here, right. As am I.
Yeah.
Except for the attic. It seems scary up there.
Yeah. We haven't even looked at the attic yet.
Seems scary.
It's scary. Anyways, it was also funny because a tenant who actually rented the ground floor room of the house.
Wait a minute. They had a tenant?
They had a tenant. So that actually rented the ground floor room of the house for 12 years.
Huh.
Claimed to hear noises from the basement, which Joseph said were caused by the quote-unquote faulty pipes or the gas heating system.
Hmm, that's a shame.
Yeah. Now, on April 19th of 2008, Fritzl agreed to seek medical attention after Kirsten, so Elizabeth's eldest daughter, fell unconscious. Elizabeth helped him carry Kirsten out of the chamber and saw the outside world for the first time in 24 years. He forced her to return into the chamber for another week. Kirsten was then taken by an ambulance to a local hospital and was admitted with life-threatening kidney failure.
Okay. For some reason, I thought they escaped it. I don't remember this medical emergency.
Hold on a second. So Joseph Fritzl later arrived at the hospital claiming that he had found a note written by Kirsten's mother, so Elizabeth. He discussed Kirsten's condition and the note with the doctor, whose name is Albert Reiter.
Okay.
Or Reiter.
Asmin.
Medical staff found aspects of Joseph's story puzzling and alerted the police on April 21st of 2008. The police broadcasted an appeal on public media for the missing mother to come forward and provide information about Kirsten's medical history. The police reopened the case file of Elizabeth's disappearance. Joseph kept repeating his story about Elizabeth being in a cult and presented the most recent letter from her, dated January 2008, posted from a town of Kemeton. The police contacted Manfred Wolfhart, a church officer and an expert on cults, who raised doubts about the existence of the cult that Joseph Fritzl had described. He noted that Elizabeth's letters seemed dictated and oddly written.
Almost by force, some would think.
Who would have thought? Elizabeth pleaded with Fritzl to be taken to the hospital. On April 26th of 2008, he released her from her cellar along with her sons, Stefan and Felix, bringing them upstairs. Joseph and Elizabeth went to the hospital where Kirsten was being treated. Following a tip-off from Dr. Ryder that Joseph and Elizabeth were at the hospital, the police detained them on hospital grounds and then took them to the police station for questioning.
Uh-oh, that was a pretty big, bold mistake on his part.
Yeah.
I mean, good, but...
Yeah. So Elizabeth did not provide police with more details until they promised her that she would never have to see her father again. Over the next 2 hours, she told the story of her 24 years in captivity. Elizabeth recounted that Joseph barred her and forced her to watch pornographic videos, which he made her reenact them in front of her children in order to humiliate her. Shortly after midnight, police officers completed the investigation, and Joseph Fritzl, at 73 years old, was arrested on April 26th, 2008 on suspicion of serious crimes against family members.
Yeah, I do remember this story in retrospect now, but I don't remember some of these greater details.
So during the night of April 27th, Elizabeth and her children and her mother Rosemary were taken into care. Police said that Joseph told investigators how to enter into the basement chamber through a small hidden door that opened by a secret keyless entry code. Rosemary stated that she had been completely unaware of what had been happening to Elizabeth.
How?
On April 29th, 2008, it was announced that DNA evidence confirmed that Joseph Fritzl is the biological father of his daughter's children.
Yeah, poor kids.
His defense lawyer, Rudolf Mayer, said that although the DNA test proved incest, evidence was still needed for the allegations of R and enslavement.
Well, I mean, I feel like they found the room. I feel like it's pretty clear.
I feel like if
these kids are very pale and weird.
Right. In their May 1st press conference, Austrian police said that Fritzl had forced Elizabeth to write a letter the previous year indicating that he may have been planning to release her and the children.
How?
The letter said that she wanted to come home, but it's not possible yet. Police believe that Joseph Fritzl was planning to pretend to have rescued his daughter from her fictitious cult. Police spokesman Franz Pulitzer said police planned to interview at least 100 people who had lived as tenants in the Fritzl apartment building the previous 24 years. The fact that they had tenants is still crazy to me.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing. And again, if there's a room you're not allowed to as a family member or spouse, they're hurting or killing somebody.
Look, if you told me that there was a room in the house that I had no access to,
we don't go into the dark room.
Bet your ass, the moment that you are shitting on that toilet, I'm going to go to that room and figure out what is going on.
Yeah, you should. Please do.
Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, it's his My Hero Academia room. He just has All Might all over his walls.
I'm a really big fan. I do anime now.
So the trial of Joseph Fritzl commenced on March 16th, 2009 in the city of Sankt Pölten.
Sorry, no. I'll stop doing it.
Sankt Pölten, which presided over by Judge Andrea Homer. On the first day, Joseph Fritzl entered into the courtroom, attempting to hide his face from cameras behind a blue folder, which he was entitled to do under Austrian law.
Specifically a blue folder? You're entitled to a blue folder?
I guess he's just like, he's allowed to cover his face.
I would drape a shirt over me. And I like, you know, veils of darkness, so.
That's true. After opening comments, all journalists and spectators were asked to leave the courtroom, whereupon Joseph Fritzl lowered his folder. Joseph pleaded guilty to all charges with the exception of murder and grievous assault by threatening to gas his captives if they disobeyed him.
Well, come on. What's the matter at that point?
Right. In his opening remarks, Joseph's defense lawyer, Rudolf Meyer, appealed to the jury to be objective and not be swayed by emotions. He insisted Joseph was...
As in, don't fuck over my client because he's a douche?
Right.
Okay.
So he
or vice versa.
So he insisted that Joseph Fritzl was not a monster, stating that Joseph Fritzl had brought a... This one gets me. So he insisted that Joseph Fritzl is, quote unquote, not a monster, saying that Joseph Fritzl is such a nice human being that he bought a Christmas tree and brought it down to his captives in their cellar during the holiday season. Like, this helps.
How did that mom not notice there were two Christmas trees in the basement? So many questions about
it. There's a lot of questions. So now we're going to touch base on Christine Birkenhauser.
Okay.
Christine Birkenhauser prosecuted her first case since being appointed chief prosecutor, pressing for life imprisonment in an institution for the criminally insane.
Yeah, that makes sense.
She demonstrated for the jurors the low height of the ceiling cellar dungeon by making a mark on the door into the courtroom at about 5 feet, 8.5 inches.
Oof, that'd be pretty rough for me. I would not be able to stand.
And I wouldn't be able either. And described the cellar as damp and moldy, passing around a box of musty objects taken from the cellar. Oof. On the first day of testimony, jurors watched 11 hours of testimony recorded by Elizabeth in sessions with police and psychologists in July of 2008.
It's going to be pretty damning.
The tape said to have been so harrowing that 8 jurors did not watch more than 2 hours at a time.
Yeah, I don't think I want to be a juror. Can that be my out that I'm just like, I'm too fragile. Can I just not want to hear this? I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to be emotionally broken for this person's mistakes.
Anyways, 4 replacement jurors were on standby to replace any of the regular jurors if they could not bear to hear any more of the evidence.
I mean, if you're already in, just finish it out. Don't ruin it for somebody else.
Besides the video testimony, Elizabeth's older brother, Harold, testified and said that he was physically abused by Joseph as a child as well. Joseph Fritzl's wife, Rosemary, and Elizabeth's children refused to testify.
His wife, Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's children.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can understand not wanting to put the kids through that. I'm sure they're all pretty.
I wouldn't want to put the kids through that, but I.
At least Elizabeth, maybe?
Yeah, I would want to do it at least.
It seems like there's already enough damning evidence, though, right? That they don't need to?
Yeah. So on March 18th of 2009, Elizabeth Fritzl attended the second day of the criminal trial against her father in preparation for a book she wrote about her ordeal. She did not plan to see her father again. Fritzl's attorney, Rudolf Meyer, confirmed that she had been in the visitor's gallery in disguise at the time her video testimony was aired. Joseph Fritzl recognized that Elizabeth was in court, and from this point on, you could see that Joseph Fritzl was going pale and he broke down. It was in the meeting of the eyes that changed his mind, according to
his lawyer.
Fritzl's attorney, yeah. The next day, Fritzl began proceedings by approaching the judge and changing his pleas to guilty on all charges.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
On March 19th of 2009, Joseph Fritzl was sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole for 15 years. He said that he accepted the sentence and would not appeal.
I mean, at least, I would say parole, not at least for how long was it? 24 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was in prison for 24 years.
At least prison for 24.
I think life imprisonment, to be honest.
Well, at least the option for parole shouldn't be come before
he
would.
I don't think he should have the option for parole, but again, that's just me. So Fritzl was currently serving out his sentence in Garsten Abbey, a former monastery in the Upper Austria that had been converted into a prison. So not really important, but a nice little fun fact. So flash forward to today, Joseph Fritzl, at the age of 88, applies for release from prison, only serving about 14 years.
You got about 10 more to go, in my opinion, buddy.
to go to a nursing home if his lawyer, Astrid Wagner, is successful in her appeal on his behalf. Wagner said that in a recent psychiatric report on Joseph Fritzl ruled out that he no longer posed a threat to society. Now, let me touch more base on this. A court could decide to move him into a normal prison, but Wagner said that Fritzl now has dementia.
Does he really have dementia?
It's stated that he does have dementia, and she thinks that he should be allowed to spend his remaining days in a care home. So she said that she has applied for his conditional discharge. So that's where we're at today, is that he's only served 14 years. He has dementia. Should he be allowed to spend his remaining days in a nursing home if his lawyer is successful?
Mm.
I think he should still be in prison.
As long as if it's not on, you know, the government's dime kind of thing, and like, well, who would take care of the cost? Because isn't a lot of like elderly housing like on cost on you?
I mean, yeah, essentially, yeah.
I mean, if he's already just out of it, just leave him there. Who cares?
I think just leave him in prison.
I'm going to argue that he was a monster.
Yeah, he is a monster. But that's all I have, is that's where we're at today, is that he has dementia. They're trying to appeal him after he's only served prison for 14 years.
Crazy, it's already been 14 years, though.
Yeah, but 15. He was also like 78 when he was like...
arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like no matter what, he's going to die soon, though. So at least, you know, this terrible person will be gone.
Yeah. But anyways, watch Girl in the Basement, which is streaming on Hulu, or The Chalk Line, which is streaming on Netflix, if you want to check it out and watch like a movie version of this. But it's pretty messed up, in my opinion.
It's a pretty sick one.
Yeah.
So if you want more details, make sure to check those out. But thanks for listening to our take on the Fritzl case. If you like what you heard, make sure you like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app, rate and review. Make sure you check out the entire Majestic Jam Network, cult classics podcast for movies. Urban Hermit for banter, and the Highwire podcast for music. Till then, we'll check on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.